And so thank you so much for singing. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Brother Dan, for choosing our songs and keeping us thinking about the goodness of the Lord on this dreary night. We appreciate that. I wanted to tell you that Brother Kyle asked me to mention that all those that work with the children's ministry, there's a Ridge Kids Workers Training meeting this Saturday at 9:30, and they will email you about the location. I'm not sure if that's in the chapel or the home builders, but they'll be sending an email out about that from fifth grade on down to the nursery. So if you're helping in Ridge Kids or the nursery or the beginners, and you're able to be here at 9:30 on Saturday, they'll give more details in that email that's coming. But I know there'll be a blessing and to get some good instruction, have some good fellowship as well. So that's 9:30 this Saturday, and we do thank the Lord for a couple of things I want to mention. Thank the Lord for the Knickerbockers, our missionaries to Burkina Faso. And I was thinking about that as he's trying to put words in. I couldn't even think of migraines, the word. Sometimes I only know one language. Well, two, if you count West Virginian. I mean, I speak American, English, and a little bit of West Virginian, but sometimes those cross over pretty much, and sometimes they don't, but that's all I know, and so I don't even have other words flying in my brain. Brother Dan, sometimes he'll be coming in, and he'll be talking to us, and then all of a sudden, he'll just get the gift of tongues, and then he'll speak in, just joking. But he'll speak off in another language, and we'll just have to bring him back down. So, Brother Dan, we're all only Americans here. We can only speak English. So, but I appreciate the missionaries that go, and they've got to wrestle through that language barrier, and then it's hard for them to get back into speaking in English. And so, thank God for people that are over there doing the work, and we appreciate them. And then just this word I thought about before we get started, I thank God for right now. Of course, Ridge Kids are the Patch the Pirates going on. Ridge Point, our teen program is going on. Brother Kyle and Miss Anna lead that. But then also there are folks out with Discipleship, our Continue series, and that's where folks will go through just a in-depth study of those basic doctrines of Scripture, and I recommend it for everybody. And so if you're interested in going through that, we do it on Wednesday nights. It's while we have child care on a Wednesday night, but they meet in other areas, mostly over in the chapel. And if you'd like to be interested in that, you can see Brother Daniel Wakefield, or you can talk to me. I'll get you hooked up with him. But it's just a program. I forget the link of it, but it just goes through some basic Bible doctrines, and some people say, oh, when they come, say, I've been saved for years. But it's a great thing. You get to camaraderie between you and the discipler, whoever goes with it, goes through it with you, and they'll break off either one-on-one or maybe it's a couple, two-on-two, and so it's a blessed ministry. And so if you're interested in that, I challenge you to get some more information about it. Would you turn your Bibles to John chapter 1? We've got the time here before the end of the service. And here's where we're shooting at tonight, and probably for the next couple of Wednesday nights before Christmas. I was reading their memoirs, but recommendations of an old pastor. And he said, one thing I would have done differently in my years of pastoring is I would have preached more than just the birth of Christ at Christmas. Because all those great truths around this Christmas season sometimes just get overlooked. Because we'll teach or preach a message that's true, but only focus on the manger and only focus on the beauty of it and only focus on the gift of love. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. We'll focus on that, and certainly we will preach some of those through this Christmas season. But this old preacher, he said that he would have preached more than just the birth of Christ. He would have looked into the doctrines, and he would have made sure that people really got it down deep in their soul how much of a doctrinal season this is. And so, with that being said, I want you to look at John chapter 1. We'll read familiar passage from 1 to 14. And so sometimes we get so thankful for the babe in the manger, and we should be thankful for that. But we don't forget, but we kind of overlook the fact that that was the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient God. It was God Himself. It was God, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And so I want to dwell on that a little bit tonight. In the beginning was the Word, verse 1 of John 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, verse 5, that's why they put him on the cross. That's why they mocked him. That's why they spat upon him. That's why they refused to believe who he was. Light, he was the light. It shined in this dark world, and that darkness comprehendeth not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I'd like to make that my life verse. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light that was talked about in verse number 5, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now remember, the Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we got the word. Inspiration. God inspired men and he used them. But I'm a big believer that when sometimes people say, well, you see the personality of this person come out in Scripture. You see the personality of Paul or the personality of John. You see the personality. You say, well, how can that be if God's the one that wrote it? God's also the one that assigned personalities to people. So God did inspire men to write it, but he must have matched their personality up with them. And so they would give eyewitness accounts of what happened. And can you imagine the power of this verse, number 14, and then we'll get started. But the Word was made flesh, and then John said, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we did behold his glory. That John was truthful. They did. They got to see him. And for years and years, I'd been jealous of people that got to actually see the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we'll get to see him one of these days, but boy, just to touch him and live with him and eat and see him do miracles. I think I mentioned it to the church here sometime back, but it finally dawned on me that those people that got to see Jesus Christ in that form and fashion, when he would go and minister to another burg, another city, another area, then they didn't have him anymore. But what did Jesus say when he went away? He said, I have to go away or the Comforter will not come. So if I'd gotten what I've wanted for all these years, and that would be to actually live with Jesus, get to see him break the bread and divvy up the fish and all that, I would have had to have lived with him for a little while, but then see him go. When he went to another village, I would have had to lose him. When he came back, I'd get to see him, and then he would leave again. But now that I live in this era, this dispensation, this age, this time frame, you and I were saved. We get the Holy Spirit, God himself, the third person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, also part of the Trinity, and then God the Father, but we get God all the time. And so really, this is the most blessed time to ever live, even though you would have liked to have seen Jesus, and like John says, we beheld him. But we get to have the Lord with us all the time. So just a side thought, nothing to do with the message tonight, but we're looking here, the Word became flesh. So the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, for unto you, or unto us rather, is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So the people in Isaiah's day, some 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, they had heard by this prophet that there's going to be a child that was born. Now, though Jewish folks, of course, they would still say that that child, he had never been born. We're still waiting on that rule, that kingly rule to come in. And that kingly rule will come one of these days. But of course, the scripture taught that he would be born as an innocent child to begin with. But I want to look at tonight, who is that Word? We see in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, just a spoiler alert, just something to give you before you, I probably not teach you anything that you don't know tonight. But I want you to have it so rock solid in your brain, maybe further down in your brain, in your heart, and in your soul. I want us to have it so rock solid down in there that we don't ever celebrate Christmas just in a whimsical way only. I love everything about Christmas. I love the fun. I love the gifts. I love the decorations. I love time together. I don't always love the crowds just like you don't, and I don't like traffic, of course, and oftentimes like that. But I love all the parts about Christmas, and so I'm certainly not one of those ones that, now you ought to remember the true reason of the season, because I believe you should remember the true reason of the season, but I don't think that you're doing any harm to the reason of the season when you go and have whimsical fun with your grandkids or whoever it is as well. You don't have to be an old fuddy-duddy just because you're saved, right? We can have a lot of fun, and as long as you get that down deep, you can have that just like you with your children. You know why you love them. You know why you're so crazy about them. You know because they're yours. God has entrusted them to you. But that still lets you have good birthday parties and good fun and good going to the mountains and going to the lake and doing all that. You can have the whimsical fun even though you know that that relationship goes so much deeper. Well, I liken Christmas to the same way. Know the deep doctrines of it. Know that all the way down that it is truly the incarnate God, God robed in human flesh. But then go have some fun as well. Don't be somebody that people mock and don't be the one that ruins the time for everyone. So who is this Word? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. So we see, though, that if we look back at 700 years before in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We realize that Jesus is the only one that's going to fit that description. Because it says about that child that he's wonderful, he's counselor, he's the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, he's the everlasting Father, he's one and the same with the Father. That's what he says here in a verse that we'll look at in a little bit. But in verse number 14, when it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, when else has that happened? Well, I guess if you were of the belief that, wow, that's not happened yet, then it better happen. And I could not imagine thinking that's going to happen one of these days with the world in such wicked shape that it is right now, that God's plan's not further along than what it already is. And we know that His plan is further. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into this world. But we understand that He was made flesh. John's such a rich book. It's such a wonderful treasury of doctrine about the deity of Christ. It's all about that He was God the Son. And so we see that Jesus is that Word. He's the only one that could be. But not only is the only one, but we see that that Word is deity. Can I rattle off a few verses for you? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life in John 6:35. He says, I'm the light of the world in 8:12. I am the door in chapter 10, verse number 7. I'm the good shepherd in verse 11 of chapter 10. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, one of my favorite passages of scripture, John 14:6. And I am the true vine in John chapter 15. The Word is deity. We see that Jesus, who is this Word? He's the only one that fit the bill. You could look at all the other prophets and all the other. John the Baptist was coming. We saw him referenced there in verse 6, 7, and 8. He was the forerunner of Christ. He wasn't that light, but boy, he was trying to, as my dad would say, cut a large swath for the Lord. He was trying to be a reflection of that light. We saw Old Testament prophets that would come, and with power, they would kind of preach condemnation over a whole nation. But that wasn't the light. We saw different people coming in. We saw Paul, a powerful leader for God. We saw all of these different people that were doing something, but nobody fit the bill. And the flesh, and he was, as it says in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. There's only one in all of human history that God, the Word, what is that Word? That's up in verse number 1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So who is the Word? It's the only one that can be who God says Jesus claimed to be. We mentioned here in a sermon not too long ago, but the Colts. And you know, I'm not a big name caller. I'm not necessarily here to bash everybody else except when they don't preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The cults, some of them say that Jesus is a spirit brother of Lucifer, that they start off pretty much on the same, Church of Jesus Christ, they would say that they start off pretty much in the same vicinity, same possibilities, but one went the wrong way, one went the right way. And that marks the course that you and I could go if we would really, really live a good life, that we could come to that same God-like status that Jesus did. The other major cult would also believe that Jesus was a created being, that he was the Son of God, but in that they mean the Son of God who was created by God the Father, like we would consider a father-son. The Father's got superiority over the Son in human speaking. So they would take that with God the Father and God the Son, that God the Father is superior to God the Son, if you believe the Jehovah's Witness doctrine or dogma. But we know that God the Father, God the Son, two differentiations between their positions, but positionally they're just the same. And so that's why it's so important that we go back to the doctrines that are found at Christmas time and look at that babe in the manger. Yes, we all have cute little pictures and conjure up images of nice manger scenes, but we've got to remember that that cute baby in the manger was God enrobed in human flesh. And so that's why I want to equip us all tonight so that we understand, and so that when people, maybe well-meaning, say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus too, if they're meaning that Jesus' existence started there at Bethlehem, which this is a teaching that's out there, that his existence started in Bethlehem, then that's not what the Scripture says, because we're going to get to it in point number two and show the eternality of the Word. So we see in verse number one, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look over, if you will, in John, same book you're in, chapter 17, verse number 5. Just in case we need more backing up, because I don't want anybody to ever be scared away from the doctrines of the Bible. We ought to be able to dive in and show people what it says. Look at chapter 17, verse number 5. Jesus is praying here. If you've got a red letter Bible, you'll find that from middle verse number one on down, all the way through the end of this chapter, they're red, and Jesus speaking here. But verse number five, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory. Look at the rest of the phrase, which I had with thee before the world was. So when we've got some false teachers that teach that Jesus was the gift of God, that Jesus was the Son of God, but that Jesus had a beginning in Bethlehem, then we've got to take him to the Scripture and say, no, Jesus came from heaven and entered through the way of a virgin's womb, entered this world and was enrobed in human flesh, but that was not the beginning. Oh, we all talk about the birth of Christ. Yes, he came, but that was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. God the Son has been God forever. And as the Scripture says here, before the world was, which I had with thee. So before the world was, Jesus was. And so look in verse, you're in 15, look at chapter, no, you're in 17, look at verse number 24 in that same chapter. Jesus is here praying for all believers that will trust in his name as the generations roll on. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, those are the ones that will be saved, those ones that thou hast given me be with thee where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Look at the last phrase of verse 24. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So the eternality of the Word, you say, preacher, I already know that, but we ought to know addresses for some of these things to know why we believe it, or at least be able to remember how to Google that part and just say, okay, where is that found in Scripture, and get the reference. Because it doesn't do us a good enough just to say, well, I'm sure that's probably right. We ought to be Bible Christians. We ought to be like those Bereans and search the Scriptures daily. So we see who is the Word, Jesus Christ. We see the eternality of the Word, meaning that he never had a beginning. He'll, of course, never have an end either, but he never had a beginning. And then I want you to look at the deity of the Word. Back in John chapter 1, we see verse number 2. So to see the deity here, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so we're seeing here, let's take away from that image that we have, that baby in the manger. Yes, we love that, and we love the manger scenes, and I'm thankful for everywhere I see him. But that little helpless babe in the manger was God himself. and we see that he was the same as God. We see, I read verse 3 earlier accidentally, but verse 2 is where I meant. We see that in the beginning was the Word was with God, but the same was in the beginning with God. The Word is the same as God. Look, if you will, in chapter 10. You're still in John. Look over at chapter 10, verse number 30. Again, you'll see when Jesus is speaking here. Jesus is facing some opposition as he often did. In verse number 29, he talks about the power of the Father, of God the Father that gave them me. He's greater than all. No man plucked them out of my hand. But look at verse number 30 when he sums up that little portion. He says, I and my Father are one. So he says, you've seen him, you've seen me. You know, we preached about not too long ago that he made him red hot, flapping mad when he said, before Abraham was, I am. And that's reference to the Old Testament when God told Moses that, you know, you're worried about them when they question who you sent you. Just tell them I am sent you. I am that I am. And then Jesus links back to that passage in the Old Testament and says, before Abraham was, I am. And when they picked up stuff to try to stone him right there and flog him, they knew good and well what he was claiming to be. He was claiming to be God. And so the same, the Word is the same as God. And so we see that the deity is pronounced again and again in Scripture, that babe in the manger was God, that Jesus that we celebrate this season. And then we also know that he was active in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, you know the first verse, but I want you to look at Genesis 1:1 and then 1 verse number 26. We see in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So nobody disputes, a lot of different cults and things wouldn't dispute that. Yes, right. God the Father created heavens and the earth. But then they would say that later, sometime after all that, or sometime before, but after God had existed, then he created the Son of God. Well, our problem would be, look at verse number 26. While God is creating this world, and then he's going to create man, and God said, let us make men in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and all the rest. So God created man in his own image. And so we understand that the Trinity, you say, well, I didn't say the Trinity there. It does not. You're right. You can't prove the Trinity from that verse, but you can certainly prove there's more than one. And so later in the New Testament, there's places where the Holy Spirit is labeled as God, God the Son is labeled as God, and God the Father is labeled as God. But my point in saying this tonight is that you can see from Scripture that God the Father and God the Son were both active in creation. And so we see that babe in a manger was none other than the Creator. It's unbelievable to me that Creator that was beaten and mocked and ridiculed and just tried to make a laughingstock of was none other than God Himself. Now think about this. I want you to think about a couple things I wrote down. Remember this, as they would mock Christ, this is what had to have been going through. We're only human, and so we don't know what was going through his mind, of course. But if I were him, of course we're not, nobody could be. But I'd be thinking, these are the ones that I came to save. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Those were the ones that he created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let us make man in our own image. You know that... He would have known that those people mocking, ridicule, beating him, buffeting him, those were the ones that he created. But then the Bible says in the book of Colossians, by him, by Jesus Christ, chapter 2, somewhere there, I think, but by him all things consist. And that word consist means all held together. While this world's spinning around, God the Son keeps it all together. And so not only was those people beating him, mocking him, and ridiculing those that he came to save, not only were those who he created, but they're also the ones that the only reason they were drawing breath at that moment was because he was signing off on it. You've heard that old song, he could have called 10,000 angels. The Bible says he could have called legions of angels to set him free. He was active in creation. He was the same as God. And he was that babe in the manger on that silent night. But he was that same God that infuriated people 33 and a half years later. He was that same God that enraged those people when he said, "You're looking at God." And so when we celebrate Christmas, we love this time of year with its manger scenes, and I do, and stars and all the rest. But I want to not be like that old preacher that I told you about that regretted that you didn't dive into the doctrines at Christmas time. And I thought for this Wednesday night, and we'll do another couple before Christmas gets here, Lord willing. But I thought for this Christmas season, for this crowd on Wednesday night, we ought to just load our wagons to remember, yes, a precious baby in the manger, but God Almighty. Can you imagine angels are not beings that will be redeemed. They're not like us, but they're created beings. Can you imagine whatever God allowed the angels to see, whatever he allowed them to know what was going on? God must have had to hold every one of them back. Because that's our God. You remember all the imagery that was given in Isaiah when those created beings were that would just continually say, "Holy, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, holy." All of heaven must have been on an alert, just ready to come down and pounce. That's not in the scripture. I don't know. I'm just saying with all of that's their creator. That's the God they worship, as we should. But let us never forget, regardless of those things that are extra biblical, that let us never forget that baby that we honor and worship was deity. We don't celebrate this time of year because, oh, aren't babies innocent? Aren't babies cute? Aren't babies lovely? They are cute and lovely and all that. But this baby was from heaven, and he truly was heaven's child. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And I pray that we would dwell well and dwell deeply on these great truths about deity being robed in human flesh. Lord, I pray that you would help us all have a very merry Christmas this season. But Lord, I pray that our prayer life and our devotional life, our meditation life, might take a turn this time of year just to think about how blessed we are that doctrinally we can celebrate the incarnation. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful truth of doctrine tonight, in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And if God's spoken to your heart tonight, if you've slipped in tonight on this cold, rainy, dreary, kind of ugly night, but you're here tonight and you're not quite sure that you're saved, you got some doubts about it, you just got problems, you're plagued with uncertainty, can I tell you that that babe in the manger was God himself on a heaven mission? He did come to seek and save that which was lost. And you say, well, why'd he wait so long, that 33 years? What's time to an almighty God? And all that action of birth and then life and then cross, the cross and death. He did that for you and for me. And you, my friend, if you've never put your faith, your trust, your dependence in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you've never forgotten to turn to him from everything else. Forget all of it. Forget your own ability, my ability, anybody's ability. If you've never turned to Jesus Christ alone, you need to do that. Right there, this is the night. Turn to him and realizing who he is and receive him as your Savior. And to those of you who are saved, you know the Lord. Could you rejoice this Christmas season knowing that wasn't just a sweet baby in the manger? Oh no, my friend. That was lovely Son of God, and the lovely God the Son took on this flesh. The lowering of it just to come and make himself as a man shows his love for us. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in church tonight. We appreciate you being here, and we're grateful for what God has given us in this Christmas season. Now, before you know it, it'll be done. If you're that one that says, good, I'm glad, don't say that. Don't show your bah humbug, Scrooge-like attitude. Just enjoy it. I know what you're saying. Preacher, it's so commercialized, and it is. So many people have forgotten their meaning, and they have. But that doesn't mean, number one, you have to forget the meaning. But then while you know the meaning, there's also nothing wrong with you having fun with your kids, grandkids, and other kids that are out and around. You can do both. Have fun and enjoy it. I never want to be like that person that says, no, I'm happy. You know, when you have to convince somebody you're happy, like that one person that said, no, I'm not bitter, and slammed their fist down on there. So, we couldn't tell by me. So, we as Christians, we're supposed to be the ones that have got it made, saved, on our way to heaven. Let's act like it. This Christmas season, let's act like we know the Lord. Act like we've got it all settled down, and take this opportunity to share the love of Jesus to everybody that we're around. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. Make sure you talk to three or four people who you didn't get to talk to on the way in, and tell them Merry Christmas. God bless you. You're dismissed.